Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rose.
And me, Maysoon Waswas.
We're back.
We're back again. Happy New Year. Welcome to the last year, everyone.
That's intense, Maysoon.
God, it's intense. Well, it is the census, so it's the last year as far as old information goes.
There is an animal called a tanuki that is basically...
Is this in Australia?
I think it's in Japan. And it is basically a raccoon that's a dog.
Oh, is it? So it's striped?
It's got the whole raccoon
look. It has cute little ears.
It's like you took a raccoon skin.
It has a big fluffy
tail.
And
pulled it over a dog skeleton.
Is it the same size as a raccoon or is it slightly bigger like a dog?
It's like a raccoon sized dog, but walks on all fours like a dog.
Jimbo and I... got a raccoon calendar for 2020 and we brought it home and our friend Serena was horrified because she has had many bad experiences with raccoons, as have many people who live in somewhat rural or slightly suburban spaces. Maybe.
I have a neighbor who is terrified of the raccoons in our neighborhood.
Oh, well, you live in like the woods. You have like three redwood trees right next to you. It's kind of like the woods right there.
Well, we've got some trees and stuff, but...
Kate's in a mini wildlife habitat.
No, I'm not.
In the middle of Oakland.
We have a neighbor who will sleep in her car if she can't get out of the car and go into her apartment if she sees that there's raccoons out and about.
Oh, she is like horrified by them.
Isn't that wild?
Wow, that's really intense. I think they're the cutest little things in the
world.
Yeah,
I love them.
I mean, I know not to snuggle them. I know they'll rip my face off, but I still really love them.
And how they wash their food.
I know, it's the cutest. Yeah. It's so sweet.
Okay, well, if people are new to the podcast, this is an arts and culture podcast.
This is the culture part where we talk about random
the
animals of the world.
Of our local wildlife. Okay, Maysoon, I went and saw that show at the Wattis.
Yeah,
that Wattis. What's the name of the show and what's the
artist?
It's
called E Morta by Cynthia Marcel.
Okay, well, here's what the show is, okay?
Tell me.
Because if you don't know, you got to know before you go.
Is it in the main space? Because Wattis has two spaces they sometimes curate.
No, it's taken up the whole thing, at least it was when I was there. Okay. I don't know what they were doing in the back, the far back, but it was like the very front big gallery and then the kind of like little back space is all this one show.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
And it's kind of set up like a radio station where you go in and there's speakers all over the place and it's just carpeted and empty.
Oh.
And then on the wall is a set of light boxes that are in three sections. There's Act 1 and then the list of characters from Act 1.
Oh.
Act 2 and then another list. Act 3 and then another list. And they light up when it's when whatever act is happening and whatever characters are, in quote fingers, speaking.
Okay.
And so you come in and there's music playing. If you're me, you come in. And you're, like, trying to close the door because it's cold out, but it's, like, one of those hydraulic doors. So
it's
you're
like
not
it's going
to
close on its own time.
Exactly. And then as I'm doing that, a guy comes with a delivery. And so I'm, like, trying to pull the door closed. Then I have to reopen it to grab the box from the delivery man.
Right.
Then I'm trying to close the door again, turn to the gallery sitters, give them the
They're
box.
They're all like, who is this lunatic?
They didn't give a shit. They were so nice. I have to say.
The gallery sitters?
When I was.
Oh, that's nice.
When I was there and when I was thinking of it, I think almost every time I've been to the Wattis, the gallery sitters,
student
workers.
For sure.
Are so nice.
I don't have that experience.
I've had nothing but nice, good camaraderie. Even, and I'm a real doofus, and I feel like it would be easy to find me obnoxious.
Do you always make it a point to go and talk to them?
Yeah.
Or is it more just like when you come in, they're very effervescent with you?
Well, because it's the Wattis, I'm always totally confused. So I always have to go to them for guidance.
You're like, I need the guide.
Yes.
I need to read whatever you have available
and
for
then,
me to read.
Yeah,
and
I
then
need the
I'll
guide. And then I need you to explain to me what the guide says. And so
the guide is very elusive
as
well.
And so, you know, anyhow, so then you go in. It's an empty carpeted room. And there's music playing on all these speakers.
Okay.
And then you go into that back gallery and there's a window looking into it. Like, you know how you have at a radio station? There's like a window to see into the... Well, then you go back there and there's this like a bunch of computers, almost like a computer lab, and they all have headphones. And it's basically like...
Who's they? They're sitting, there's people
sitting.
No,
there's no one in there.
Okay.
At least when I was there, there was nobody.
And but so, there are basically workstations all equipped with headphones.
Yeah, and you go in there.
Oh.
You go into that space. It's set up like this play. Apparently this play was written in the 1930s. That's where the acts and the characters are
from. I love
from.
A radio play so bad.
Yeah, and so you go in to where these computers are, and basically you select one of the characters, and it's already whatever act it is. You know?
Yeah.
You don't pick which act.
Yeah,
but
you're in
the,
there.
You have the list of characters that are in that act of this play, and you select one, and then you select a song.
What?
And the song
so
is supposed
much.
To stand in as their dialogue. So as soon as you pick the song, I think if there's nobody else queued up, because I was there in the middle of the day on a weekday, it plays the song in the main gallery. And I didn't know that. And thank fucking God I didn't pick some fucking party in the USA or some really obnoxious shit.
Could you have?
I picked Cosmic Dancer by T-Rex.
Oh,
which is like
nice.
A pretty mellow.
Yeah, it's a good one. I dance myself right
out the womb. The character I chose was called the Hierophant. So I was like, that sounds pretty tarot card-y. So I was like, Cosmic Dancer.
The Hierophant, the word itself, was the title of the high priest at the Eleusinian Mysteries. And it means revealer of sacred things.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow, and then it started
so
playing.
Do you sit there, you're reading your part?
No, that you're creating that. So that song, I think, is supposed to be the what that character is saying.
The Hierophant,
yeah,
your character.
So then when you go back out to the gallery, now whatever character you chose is lit up in the bank of light boxes. Mm-hmm. And it's playing the song that you selected. Which was, I was like, I went to the back to the gallery guides and I was like, I didn't realize it was going to play immediately. And now I've like DJ'd your workspace. And I'm glad I didn't pick anything too ridiculous.
Are there other characters present or is it just your character? Like if there were 5 or 7 people in the gallery, could we all choose our own characters with different songs that would then like in a script... One song would go one character and then another character and back and
I
forth.
I think that's how
dialogue.
It would go. Yeah, I only picked one.
I think
and
we
then
need
I
to
got
go with like 7 people.
Yeah.
An experiment.
I think the more people, the more wackadoo it probably gets.
Oh my God, so fun.
Of course, I didn't read the guide.
So you have no idea.
Like
you have
poem.
No idea what it's about. But
it was very artsy, the guide. And so anyhow, go check it out.
What do you know about the artist, Cynthia Marcel?
Nothing.
I have to say... Wattis was never my favorite place. And I have to say they are like my favorite place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I think over the past couple of years. Maybe there was a curation shift or something. I don't really know. But I think I like Wattis because their shows are so consistent. Like I feel like they have a very distinct style in the kinds of exhibitions they curate. And they're usually very stark, and they're challenging. Like, they're just sort of, like you said, you have to go to the gallery guide, you have to go to the person's, like, the whatever text is there, and, like, you have to work for it a little bit.
Right. I was like, man, you could come and have a party here, because you can DJ the music, you've got this big carpeted floor.
And I think that's part of it. It's like, the shows, like, visually and, like, intellectually, or even just, like, I feel like their shows always spark my imagination and my need or interest and curiosity, regardless of what I know about the work of the artist.
Yeah.
So even without having the guide or the text, there's still something that draws me to like be
to
confused, to be interested, to be kind of pissed, or like that always incites some kind of reaction, which I just appreciate that, if anything, because sometimes I don't always feel anything when I go to galleries, not certain galleries, just shows in general.
Speaking of the
And they're always bringing artists that I'm unfamiliar with. Like, I'm not someone who goes to art fairs and knows every artist in the world, obviously, right? Like, I'm very familiar with, like, Bay Area artists, California artists, New York, like, big name, old school artists, whatever. So it's sort of, it's nice for me to, like, feel like I can learn about new people all the time there.
Okay, speaking of the Wattis, Maysoon, my video, my children's video I made for the Wattis and then put on YouTube and then started making money from, I got demonetized.
What? What?
Got demonetized.
Wait, why?
Like 2 days ago. Well, there's a new law that went into effect this month because of the new year that is protecting children's information and data online.
Okay.
And so I think they kind of like increase the bot that goes and crawls through all the kids' videos to see what needs to be like demonetized. But it's like, it doesn't take the video down. It just, I'm just saying it was a huge disappointment.
It took forever to start monetizing on that.
I know.
And then you finally did.
Yep.
And for them to fuck you over or fuck around now, that's so annoying.
I mean, to be fair, it was just like free money.
I just feel like you should be making the money.
I agree.
You're like, yes, yes, I do.
So that happened. Okay, I also went to the Berkeley Art Museum. They've got a show up that is a wild show.
What's going on over there? Larry Rinder is resigning. Do you hear about that? He's retiring.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it on the podcast.
I know.
Remember
I
we asked Elizabeth Thomas who was going to have the job?
Yeah. I just still can't believe it a little bit.
Show up right now is called Strange, and that's what it is.
That's all? Strange?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, it was dedicated to Kevin Killian.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
And one of his like poem drawings is in it. And it was very sad. To see his name and then to see, like, his years, like, of birth and death was really sad. It was a wild poem drawing, though, because it talks about soft as a baby's bottom, like, as a phrase.
Isn't that cute?
There were a ton of really bizarre pieces. Sigur Hotchkiss wrote an article about this piece by this artist named Keith Hale called Accepting the Duck. Which is like a
accepting the duck?
Yes. With a young boy. Maysoon's on her phone.
I'm looking things up.
With a young boy holding a surfboard. Did you see this?
Oh, where did I see that?
A freaky like Roger Rabbit 3D.
Wait, who is that artist?
His name is Keith Hale. It's just fucking weird.
Can I look at that image closer? I'll put a link to burnish it into my mind.
I'll put a link to Sigur Hotchkiss's article, which was called like In Celebration of the Strangest Painting I've Ever Seen. And so basically there's like this cartoon duck, but it's like rendered three-dimensionally, but the duck's back is to us, the viewer, and he has like, he's holding onto a surfboard that this young child, this boy is holding, and the boy is like profusely sweating. There's like droplets of sweat going down his forehead, and then there's a background that looks like a volcano is going off, it's like fiery apocalypse.
Yeah,
and then somebody in the background is surfing on some of the flames, and it's also got this very like kind of I don't know ominous black frame around
it. Amazing.
And the picture itself is like this strange shape, like a sign that would be over a door.
Yeah,
for like a doctor's office. I don't know.
At the top of the frame there's a little like clamshell kind of embellishment that has a little white duck painted in it that looks like
I didn't even notice that
it's standing on it's almost like a Daffy Duck type figure, like probably.
Oh my god, Maysoon, I didn't notice that at all.
That's
wow,
pretty
that
fucking
is fucking
cool.
Weird. And the duck's wearing a wetsuit.
Wait, the duck in the show? Yeah, in the thing. In the image.
So that's a painting by Keith Hale, and I'll put a link to Sarah's article in.
Is that guy local?
Basically, this is why I went to the show, was to see this painting.
Because you read that article and you're like, I gotta go.
And I was like, whoa, there's weird shit going on at BAM PFA.
I want to go see that.
Hell yeah.
I want to see that show.
There also is a very strange drawing called Sad by Bruce Conner from 1990 that has like a man in formal wear, but then instead of a head, he's got like all these waves and rocks and like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like a worm centipede in the middle. I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
Is it a collage?
No, it's a. I think it's a graphite drawing.
Oh, my God.
And
it's like inside out. It feels like it's.
So this is all work from their collection. And remember that fucking photograph of the boy drinking the milk straight out of the goat's udder? It was in a show like a year ago or something, like not long ago, and we talked about it on the podcast, and you were like, is that legal?
Did I say that?
Something, you said something crazy. And that's in it again. I was kind of like, man.
I've already seen that.
Well, it's kind of like you're a DJ curating out of the collection.
Yeah.
It's like
you got the same records.
How can you make a new idea, a new constellation? There's also this like S&M mask with like a million belts and buckles by Nancy Grossman. This is from 1968. It's like a really intense leather mask where only your nose sticks out.
Wow. It's kind of beautiful, you know?
Yeah, all the like intricacy of all the different
the detail
straps.
Of the leather and the way that they're all kind of like crossing over one another. And
yeah. So I would give that show a high rating.
A high rating.
I would give it, I'd give it a 8.5 out of 10.
Wow.
I deeply enjoyed it. It was co-curated by...
It seems definitely like a Larry show.
Yeah, it was co-curated by Larry Rinder and then also Stephanie Canizo.
Okay.
And then also Kate McKay, who I think curated like some films that go with it maybe.
Okay.
Because she's
that the name film, sounds familiar, but I'm not.
She's the associate film curator. Oh, okay. And then Lynn Kimura. There's also up at the Berkeley Art Museum is a little show, a Matrix show with Sylvia Fine. With a ton of fucking also super weird paintings. Wow. Like there's this one called Gone for a Swim where it's just this like freaky green cloud. What would you call that, Maysoon? Like a fucking wild water tornado?
I like mean, really turbulent. To me, it looks like the tops of trees though, you know? Like it feels very, it's very green.
Yes.
And it feels like really dense foliage almost, like where you can't see through
but
to the
other
side. But it's
supposed to be water because all those legs, and then there's all these legs? Like tiny black legs coming out.
Oh, and they're upside down. It kind of reminds me of Kathy Lou a little bit. I mean, not
oh,
at
yeah,
all.
Oh, yeah, the tiny
but
little
when
people.
She has her tiny people.
Yep, so that was super weird.
But
that
all the legs are
called,
sticking out. It's kind of sweet.
And it's called Gone for a Swim. And all her works are done with egg tempera, which is, oh. I don't see that often.
On
or
canvas?
Like this piece
Wait,
called
is on
Cat
canvas?
Eye, where there's a fucking close-up of an eyeball with oh. a cat's face as the pupil.
It's so good.
It is popping
wow.
off.
And the frame is really outrageous.
Everything in the whole show was outrageous. There were some frames that were like nested where there was like five levels of
this
frame.
This is one of those nested frames. Here, yeah. Describe it for people. It's like a marble.
Oh, and
green,
this wasn't even the
a
most
green
extreme.
Marble black frame. And then there's like this huge
and
copper
even,
craziness around
and
it.
And then this giant like gold painted.
Golden coppery
but
painted.
But it looks like flesh like or something.
Five. Oh. Ooh.
Right? That is framing the two frames inside
yeah.
the frame. Yeah, there it's were like frames that were like five nested frames. Like.
You know, I'm not a big fan of like really loud frames like that, but I feel like when it's a frame within a frame within a frame, then it becomes something very different.
Well, her work is so freaky. It's like...
Yeah, it's appropriate.
I don't know what's going on at BAM PFA, but...
They're feeling it.
They're fucking... They got the supply.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
What
Have
I'm
fun.
Saying is they're
it
on
sounds
drugs.
Like a fun experience at BAM PFA.
Well, BAM, I didn't really interact with the PFA
yeah.
at all.
That's exciting. I don't have a good... they're not like... I don't have a similar feeling with BAM as I do
Yeah,
with,
I don't
like,
know.
Wattis,
this time
you know?
I was just really... I really haven't felt great there since they got the new building.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I always loved the old building. But this time I went, and you know, they have the big, like, stadium seating
yeah.
with the big mural.
Yeah.
And then there were the stairs down to the lower level,
yeah.
and they don't look new anymore. They look all, like, beat up and scuffed up from
okay.
everybody walking. And I was like...
Do you like that?
Yeah, I was like, I feel like it's starting to get, like, worn in with all the freaky cat paintings and the fucking S&M heads.
I wonder if they had, like, whoever the architects were do, like, a future rendering, like a rendering after 20 years of use, like what does the wear and tear look like in the building? I'd be kind of interested to see that. I'm sure they did.
That's a great art project.
Just to think about that. The San Francisco Arts Commission Gallery turns 50 this year.
Congratulations.
We started in 1970 and we're 50 and towards the end of the year. And so we're doing this crazy archive
show. Hey, wait,
Maysoon.
Just so you know, you're speaking as an individual and not on behalf of the Arts Commission or as an Arts Commission employee.
That's true. I'm always speaking as a personal individual
uh-huh.
and not as an employee.
Never.
And the whole staff has been curating an exhibition about our archive.
We're oh, sweet.
We're going to have our archives out in the gallery and people can come and dig through them.
So, like, what is in the archive? Is
All
it
sorts
like
of
a
crazy
lot of
shit.
Ephemera? Is there a collection?
There's
like
not,
of artworks?
No, I know what you mean. There's not really. It's mostly ephemera. It's like photos.
You know who's going to go off?
Who?
Margaret Tedesco.
She's already. She's. I don't know if she's going to go off.
Oh, really? She's going to be like, my archive is better than this shit.
Kind of, because Margaret is like so specific about archive stuff that I feel like she's going to be like, yeah,
yeah,
well.
But she'll love that. She loves to do that,
I mean,
too.
I hope she'll go off. I really want her to go off.
Okay, Margaret, get in there.
Come on and go off, Margaret. But we're going to have our archive out on view in the gallery. And the staff, we're moving our desks into the gallery. So we'll be like the library, the archive staff.
Whoa.
Library staff
Even
in the gallery.
Meg?
Huh?
Even Meg, the top boss?
Hopefully. We're going to move four desks out there so people can check out a box with us and they can take the box to a table where they can sit and dig through and take notes. And we're going to make pencils and we're going to have cute little aprons or jackets with like a cool logo on it. And we're going to have like a media viewing area where we have like VHS tapes and like weird mini DVs, like DVDs and all sorts of media that people can play and like look at.
Maysoon, how are you going to work?
Well, we're going to be, I think we're thinking that like during this, like I think it's 7 weeks, a 7 week period, we'll be doing a lot of work on the archive itself because we need to really kind of organize it and get it up to speed or just make sure it's
accessible.
Being well taken. Well, yeah. Not even accessible, but just that it's being well taken care of. Like, yeah. We need to get all of our newspaper clippings in plastic sleeves because newspaper is acid-free and it will literally degrade everything around
it.
Right,
yeah.
So just shit like that. So we'll be doing a lot of work like that. The gallery's hours will be shortened. We're only going to be open Wednesday through Saturday to the public, 12 to 5. So I'll be able to get full work done on Monday and Tuesday without any. Anyhow, it's been super fun to work on it. We've seen lots of weirdo posters and fucking photos from all different decades. It's been pretty crazy.
That's
there's a folder of like when the Arts Commission burned down or when there's a big fire, there's like these like really crispy burned edges
Holy
on these like
shit,
old photos.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So there's like some really cool ephemera like that. So anyone who's like nerdy about Bay Area art history will probably really enjoy coming over and looking at things.
Maysoon, Tom DeCaney is stepping
down. Tom DeCaney is stepping down. Isn't that the wildest thing ever?
You can't talk about it, can you?
I mean, he's the only cultural affairs director I've had working there, and he's been great. I mean, as far as I know, he's lovely. He's a lovely person. He seems to have been doing really good for the Arts Commission, according to people who've been there before him. I mean, I don't think anyone's scared, but, you know, see, people are certainly a little concerned about, or just sort of like, not concerned, but just everyone's thinking about who the next director is going to be. Oh. Zulfi Ali Bhutto and Azine Siraj, they're on the curatorial committee there at SOEX, and they curated a show called Where Do You Want Ghosts to Reside?
Okay.
And it opens on Friday, January 17th. So that's in a couple of weeks. I believe their openings are from 6 to 9. And I swear to you, those two artists are fantastic.
Yes.
And I think the show will be amazing and super interesting, and they'll probably have work I think it'll be awesome. The title is taken from an Atal Adnan epic poem about the Lebanese Civil War. Remember when Atal Adnan was not discovered, but she's like one of those older women painters that was discovered like very late in her 90s or something?
Hey, I want to let you know that NIAID is having a live auction.
Oh, that sounds great.
Featuring work from a selection of NIAID artists as well as works from neurotypical contemporary artists. And this is part of Win-Win 8, which is going to be at a partner space called CoBiz Richmond on McDonald Avenue from 3 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th.
Cool.
That's 100 years from now.
Speaking of NIAID, I heard you went to the Sika show. And one of the artists, Marlon, is a NIAID artist, I believe. Yeah.
God, Sika Show ruled.
Sika Show was fucking killer, right?
All three of the artists were phenomenal.
I know.
I loved it. I really loved Sahara's work. Like
she fucking killed that.
The part where there's a sculpture where there is like a section of a chain link fence inside this like ceramic piece.
Yeah.
And all these belts and all these like other like gate pieces. It was like also like so intricate.
Yeah.
So strange. And those like weird stalks that go up all the way to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Everybody, please go see it.
Paper mache, yeah.
Right into the show and we'll make you a press pass for Congratulations Pine Tree.
Awesome.
And you can get in for free.
We're hoping to talk to Sahar in the next like couple weeks to a month.
Oh yeah,
she was on the docket, and then we had to reschedule.
Love to talk to her about that work.
She's hot.
It's so like warm.
Her work?
Yeah, there's something about it, even though it's very strange, and some of it is very kind of Like, the chain link fence is kind of like...
harsh.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's also like, you walk into the room and there's the fucking shawarma.
I think there's a lot of humor in her work.
Yeah.
It's like playing with like these kind of maybe opposites a little bit, like where there's humor, but then there's also these kind of
and
rough
like the
edges,
giant earrings.
It's a huge ass earring. Yeah.
All this like, and just a very delicious mix of like materials and textures.
Yep.
I could have spent a million years in
there. They're all called topiaries. They're all topiaries of something, which I thought, or something
so
topiary,
good.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Also, at the Berkeley Art Center, there's the Members Exhibition. Part one is running from January 11th to 25th, and the opening reception for that is Saturday, January 11th, 6 to 8. You never know what you'll see there. It could be real freaky there. Okay, so Martz is having their annual art party. It's called Lush, a solar punk
party?
Happening.
Solar punk happening?
Yeah, it's called Lush, colon, a solar punk happening.
Those are weird words together for me. Lush and solar punk don't really...
Yeah, join SoMarts as they take one giant leap into the future.
Hey.
Of the arts. And that is Saturday, April 11th. That's literally 25 years from now.
Oh, April. Jesus Christ.
From
Let's just re-announce that.
No, from 6 to midnight. This is when they sent it. This is when
this
I'm reading it.
This is when they're getting it. I wanted... The Mills has a show coming up that I'm super excited about. A friend of the show, Kari Marbo.
Oh, Kari Marbo show.
Has curated a show. It opens January 25th. It's called Duplicating Daniel, which I don't really
know. Rhodes.
Daniel
the
Rhodes.
The ceramicist.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's been working on that for a long time.
Kari is just one of those artists who goes so deep. I just think she's fascinating and super smart and quirky. And it's undoubtedly going to be an incredible show. So I want to encourage everyone to go to that.
Please do go.
Yeah.
Are you making sounds happen with all your moving and touching? Okay. Also, Minnesota Street has their first Saturday thing going on January 11th. They're going to be open till 8 p.m. All those galleries in there, including Jack Fisher, are going to have a show up.
Jack Fisher has a show.
There's a show opening at Part 2 Gallery. That's in Oakland. Have you ever been there? I've been there, man. It is huge.
Part two, huh?
It is like an optical illusion or something, how big
this is. It just keeps opening up, expanding.
Yeah. Because it's in downtown Oakland, and you're like, how is there an art venue this big? It feels like a New York gallery or something.
Weird.
It's like cavernous.
Is it like a crazy New York gallery, like super white walls?
I'm really hyping it up. Like, you're going to go, and you're going to be like, this looks like a fucking gallery, Kate.
I can't wait.
And Part 2 Gallery, which may or may not be a giant, has two shows opening up. One is called Wes Ona by Saif Sanusi Azouz. Okay. And the opening reception for that is Saturday, January 11th. So many things going on January 11th.
January 11th. That's this weekend, Kate.
But it's open for long, from noon to 10 p.m. And there's going to be an artist talk.
Because they're just doing their regular gallery hours and they're throwing the reception on
yes,
at the end.
Yes, correct. And there's going to be an artist talk at 4 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay.
And the show's going to be up until February 7th. Okay, Maysoon. And the gallery is so big that they have a whole nother show also opening on January 11th by Nico Stone. And the show is called Web. Okay. And both of these artists are doing like wall works, like paintings and like mixed media flat works and stuff. The Nico Stone show is going to have also a reception also on the 11th. So they'll be running concurrently.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to friends Craig Calderwood and Christy Chan.
Yes, who are doing API
who
at
got
Mills
the
College.
API artist residency over there at Mills College. That's awesome. They get a beautiful studio, access to all of the studio spaces there. The workspaces?
Well, not all the studio spaces.
They
get
studios,
a studio there
and they
and
get
access
to
all the like workspaces.
Workspaces, thank
like
you.
Like the
sculptures,
studio and the wood shop
and the ceramics, yeah. All the things. It's pretty awesome. Then they get a killer show at the museum. It's fucking rad.
One thing I noticed because Craig posted on her Instagram today like pictures of the studio that she's in, and I was like, that's in the Hive, which is like a Usually it's in
the hive.
Yeah, usually the API artists are over in the arches that are like the big high ceiling. Like,
just... Well, and they're kind of separate from like the grad students, which I think is kind of appropriate. Jamil Helu has a show opening up at
SF Camerawork
on January 23rd. Show is called Together.
Have I been yelling this entire time?
I don't know.
And, Let's do it one more time.
No. And it's going to be great. He's been working on this series of portraits for a really long time, and they're stunning and gorgeous, and I'm so excited to see them.
And it's always like him with another queer person, yeah. And there's like, they have told Jamil their like story, you know, their background, and then Jamil is kind of like, and they're always in costume.
Yeah.
And it's always on like a super technicolor, high chroma background.
Yeah.
And then it always feels like maybe Jamil is like kind of their imaginary friend or something.
Okay, yeah. So maybe it's like the story of the person, and then Jamil finds a way to kind of integrate himself into the story. So like this example is of one of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, where Sister Tilda next time is dressed up in this incredible costume, and then Jamil is wearing like a more humble, kind of like a monk's robe.
Oh, like a nun in a monk.
Like a nun, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Jamil always looks so wild.
It's so good.
He's got such a striking...
Like he should be on fucking Star Wars in that one. It's like
totally.
Princess Leia right there. so good.
Yeah.
Those are all my announcements. The Women's March is coming up. Go to all the marches against our fucking government trying to wage war with Iran. Because that's
nightmare.
Some fucking bullshit.
Nightmare.
And I wanted to shout out to Barbara Lee real quick. About her, like, vote against...
The Authorization for Use of Military Force, the AUMF.
The only person. It's fucking amazing. I'm
you
just like,
read
wow,
out
that's hundreds
her...
of people.
Yeah. You should read out her statement about it.
Right now?
Yeah.
On the pod?
I'll put a music in the background.
It was a blank check to the president to attack anyone involved in the September 11th events, anywhere, in any country, without regard to our nation's long-term foreign policy, economic and national security interests, and without time limit. In granting these overly broad powers, the Congress failed its responsibility to understand the dimensions of its declaration. I could not support such a grant of war-making authority to the president. I believe it would put more innocent lives at risk. The president has the constitutional authority to protect the nation from further attack, and he has mobilized the armed forces to do just that. The Congress should have waited for the facts to be presented and then acted with fuller knowledge of the consequences of our action.
Hell yeah. I
she's
think about that
rad.
Every time I go and vote for her, because she's my representative and mine.
Is she my representative? No,
no.
Right?
Pelosi,
God
dude. Your representative
I fucking
Nancy
hate
Pelosi.
I want to move to Oakland. Jimbo, we got to move to Oakland.
Yeah,
no, I know
Barbara Lee
actually stood up for something real. Real. Yeah.
Okay, everybody, give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Please don't use our email to sign up for weird discounts, websites, and other weird shit.
Yeah, don't fuck around like that. If you hate us, just tell us. Just call in and tell us.
Yeah, call in and yell at us.
Just go ahead. Say
we're back on our regular schedule.
Weekly people.
Yes. And
give us your emails and suggestions.
Oh, and please send in. We want to give our special shout out to our sustaining donor, Jim Prosser.
Yes.
Who is also our only donor. So please feel free to go to our website, congratulationspinetree.com, and hit the donate button and send us some money. Because we're not raking in that YouTube money anymore. Which I wasn't sharing with Maysoon anyway. So send us some money and take care of Maysoon. Because Maysoon needs a ride from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.